Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Get ready for this morning at 6:37. Good morning. Very, very scary. Blah, blah, blah. It's not that scary. Is that all the song is? Oh, that's it? Oh, that's not too scary at all. I don't think necessarily.
Like Michael Myers. It's a very scary song. I get scared.
Sarah, our producer, is scared. Please come and hug her immediately. It is scary, yes. Scary, scary. We are talking about a very scary issue, and that is Halloween and our pets. Dr. Brooke Bartell is here from MedVet Chicago. Good morning, Dr. Bartell. You don't look scared at all.
Good morning, and happy soon-to-be Halloween.
Yeah, you don't seem scared.
Nope, just ready for the enjoyment.
But it can be scary for some of our pets. And some of these things I've talked about for years, so I'm going to go through them quickly. I think at this point, most people know about chocolate, and it's dark chocolate mostly that we're concerned about, that we do not want our pets to get into.
Yes, any chocolate really can be toxic, but the darker the chocolate, the higher level of the theobromine, which acts like caffeine and affects the heart rate. So size of the dog, amount of chocolate was what we need to know.
That's the chemical in the chocolate.
Yes.
So, as a side note, if we want a little boost for ourselves, dark chocolate gives us more of that than, say, the white chocolate or lighter chocolates?
Yes. The darker the chocolate, the cacao, those baking chocolates, that's going to have those higher levels. And yes, it probably would have the same effect on us, but
I need to have some brownies.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of which, some of those brownies now are people don't want sugar. So there's an artificial sweetener called xylitol. It's in all sorts of different products, including, I think, some candies that are sugarless. Toothpaste, I think. All these different products we wouldn't think of. Again, not necessarily, as far as we know, a problem for us. However, for our pets, completely different story.
Yes, I think most people have heard of it in sugar-free gum is the biggest problem that we see with them. You might be getting gum and trick-or-treating, but any candy can have that. It's a sugar alcohol that has no effect on people, but in our pets, it can drastically lower their blood sugar to the point they have seizures, and it can also cause damage to the liver.
Now, I know over Thanksgiving and over Christmas, you see a lot of pets that are eating things that they shouldn't or eating too much of something that they can, but way too much of it. So a little piece of turkey, maybe not a bad thing. Half a turkey, completely different story. Especially if we're talking about a 10 or 15 or 25-pound animal, you know? I mean, we're a lot more than that, so we can deal with it. Maybe not your 25-pound dog or cat. How about over Halloween?
I think the biggest culprit tends to be the chocolates and the candies, but also in the eating things, food in moderation, but I do worry a little bit about the decorations around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those fake cobwebs or your costumes may have ribbons and glitter, and we know cats love to get into strings, dogs love to eat anything. So we can be looking at foreign body concerns with the decorations.
Yeah, and that could be life-threatening. Now, the good news is that you're there 24/7. Personally, of course.
Yes. So I'm there the whole time, 7 days a week.
Yes, you never stop working. You are always there 24/7. And that's what MedVet is. It's an emergency clinic. But more than that, you have specialists that do. The thing about MedVet, and I've experienced it personally, a dog or a cat can come in emergency or not, and someone can look at that animal and say, you know what? I'm not sure if it's neurological or orthopedic, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a neurologist right there, and you have an orthopedist right there. You don't have to go. I mean, in human medicine, we have to make an appointment for 3 weeks from Thursday and then another for 2 months from Friday. I mean, you don't even get the appointments in human medicine, let alone being, it's kind of like a Mayo Clinic. I've never been to the Mayo Clinic, but I keep saying this anyway. To me, it's like a Mayo Clinic for pets.
Yes, it's, we're trying to lead specialty healthcare for pets. We have multiple specialists, as you talk about, surgery, neurology, cardiology, internal medicine, and we all work very closely together as a team, consulting with each other to do what's best for the pet. And as you said, unlike in human medicine, we're going to get those x-ray results pretty quick, maybe even same day. MRI results maybe same day, whereas with humans, it can take a few weeks.
Yeah, and you only mentioned some of the specialties. So there's oncology, there's dentistry, oncology, actually. I should stop there because you have a whole center for cancer.
Yes, there's medical, radiation, oncology, rehab. They have a whole area over there. We have just about every specialty you could ever need for your pet. We certainly hope you don't ever need that. And where I'm at is in the emergency critical care. We are 24/7. We are staffed with a full team of doctors and technicians at all times to handle any of your emergencies.
So what I should ask you, and maybe I won't, because you're asked this, I think, every time you go anywhere. What's the craziest emergency that you've ever had?
I think the craziest for me was a dog who was licking an old paper shredder and got his tongue into the paper shredder and came attached with that. That's, I would say, kind of the weirdest.
With the paper shredder?
Yeah. He ended up fine. No animals were.
That doesn't
sound
good.
Yeah, he had multiple cuts to his tongue. It took a lot of surgery, but he did well. But it was the most interesting thing to see a big boxer-type dog with the large paper shredder attached to his tongue.
Even thinking about that this early in the morning, that is more scary than what I was about to say. So 4.2, actually over 4.2 million dog-owning households and nearly 2 million cat caretakers will be treating their furry companions to ghoulish goodies and grisly toys. Blah, blah, blah. This Halloween. That's according to the National Retail Federation. Pet moms and dads will spend over $400 million on Halloween on their pets alone. And that's about double how much pet owners spent in 2010, just 8 years ago, when the National Retail Federation first began to look at those numbers. Pet costumes, Petco, PetSmart, they carry each well over 100 costumes for dogs and cats, and some for guinea pigs and ferrets, too. I mean, who would have thought, I mean, growing up as a kid, your mom would not have dressed up the pet guinea pig if you had a
absolutely
pet
not.
Guinea
and
pig.
Even, you know, within my lifetime, we were sewing our own costumes. You know, we didn't have many choices. There was no shopping online for the latest and greatest. So
here's the question. Do you dress up your pet for Halloween? And no matter how you answer, you know, people are going to do it. So also, and I don't know that it's a bad thing to do. So I'll let you answer that. And then another question following that is, what should we be careful of, knowing that people are going to do it? But I'm not sure it's a bad thing to do.
I think for many dogs, especially the smaller dogs or the dogs who are used to wearing coats in the winter, mm-hmm. they're used to wearing the clothing, so it's not much of a difference depending on what the costume is. And I think they're very comfortable and they're very used to it.
That's a good way to put it, because we have a small dog who, exactly, I mean, in Chicago, she needs 6 sweaters and 3 coats in the winter, you know? So she is accustomed to it, so... I judged a Halloween costume contest at the chalet. It was last weekend, I think it was. I don't know. The weekend before. It was recently. And it was cool out. It suddenly got cool. It's the day, whatever day it was, that it suddenly got cool out. And it was kind of like help keep her warm, too.
Yes. It's many of the costumes, their clothes there don't have too many accoutrements. Where I'd be worried is if you've never put your dog or your cat in an item of clothing, and especially your dog, and then you have multiple pieces, and then trying to take him out with multiple other dogs, that can create some undue stress. It could create some defensive aggression. You mm-hmm. never know. So I think if you're wanting to do the custom, do some trial runs around the house. Get them used to it.
Now's the time to start, actually.
Definitely.
You know, a couple weeks before Halloween. And you can, quote, train your dog, not all dogs, but most dogs, to, if not enjoy being in the costume, at least accept it by pairing the experience with something like, say, food.
Does that work? Their favorite treat. Yes. You know, positive reinforcement is what it's all about. They get a reward for doing the thing you want, and that's what's going to get you most success.
All right. It is 6:47 on WGN. When we come back, I want to talk about the doorbell. And I want to talk about the door, the front door opening and closing for all those trick-or-treaters. It turns out a lot of pets get lost over Halloween. And a lot of pets get anxious or nervous about it, too, because that doorbell is constantly ringing. And then you have trick-or-treaters ringing the bell who look like presidents or something. And that's scary to a lot of dogs and cats and people. WGN Radio, Steve Dale here, reminding you that the Midwestern University Eye Institute, located in Downers Grove, is a full-service clinic. The Eye Institute provides comprehensive eye exams, glasses, and contact lenses, eye disease screening, treatment, vision therapy, low-vision rehabilitation services, and emergency care needs. They also offer pediatric eye exams for children 6 months and up. All at an affordable price. You could learn more at MWUClinics.com, MWUClinics.com, or call 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic, your family's home for eye health care. I'm afraid to tell you this. It was just about a week or so ago. I'm driving at night, and it gets dark out now pretty quickly. That's depressing, I think. But it really does. I mean, at 4 o'clock, it's light out, and at 4:30, it really begins to get dark. So I thought, oh my gosh, there really is something wrong with my eyes. Until I got home and I realized I still had my sunglasses on. What are you going to do with me? WGN Radio, it's 9 minutes before 7 o'clock. Steve Dale. And after 7 o'clock, it is a conversation about politics, which can be very scary, too. We're talking about Halloween and pets. Blah, 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 blah. Our phone number, 312-981-7200, or you could text us at that same number. Here's a question. We have several of them because my text just popped up here, so I'm going to play catch-up with Dr. Brooke Bartel of MedVet Chicago. We have a nine-month-old Shiba Inu. And we were roughhousing last night, and he started to limp. He didn't whine or cry this morning. The limping, he limped getting out of the crate. Again, no whimpering, but still a limp. Should I take him to the veterinarian? And this is one of those questions. At what point do you need an emergency veterinarian? Is this something that can wait until you see your own practitioner on Monday? And the other question that I have for you, Dr. Bartel, and this is an example, if this is an emergency, and I'm not sure that it is, but if it's an emergency, why do they always happen at night and on weekends and holidays?
It's their favorite thing to do, be totally healthy through the week and then, you know, Saturday at midnight get sick.
Yes.
I would say what we tell people when they call us at MedVet ER is if you feel that they are in distress, especially trouble breathing, not responding, or if you feel they're in pain, in the case of the limping dog, if he's happy about it, you might be able to wait to see your veterinarian when they open. But if a dog is in a lot of pain or a lot of distress, then we'd recommend that you contact our ER.
It's hard to tell sometimes, though, you know, when the dog, or especially a cat, is really in pain, you know, because they don't always tell us. So some will whimper. But some are more stoic. I mean, we had, for example, a dog that was a drama queen, and she would, like, step the wrong way. We didn't have to run to the emergency vet, but she would scream on the street. She'd step the wrong way and scream. and 5 steps later be okay, which gave us part of the answer, I suppose. But you know the point that I'm getting to. It is sometimes hard to tell.
Some dogs, it can be very subtle. That's why you are the best judge of your pet's behavior and what's different. For some, it may be that they're very slow to sit down, or they're sitting in an abnormal position. They're hiding in an abnormal location. Not all of them will be, you know, a chihuahua who's holding up its arms, screaming that it hurts.
How did you know that's what I had here? Yeah.
And especially with cats, the hiding, not grooming, not sleeping in their normal curled up position, those are things I would look for.
So this person wants to know what the most popular pet costume is this year, from 630. I know the answer to that, actually.
Good.
It's, according to the folks at the chalet anyway, it's a pumpkin. And then the number two are superheroes. Any kind of superhero, apparently. And I guess that's somewhat similar for young kids, actually. Of course, if you have a dachshund, must look like a hot dog. I think that's a law. I'm not sure. So the doorbell is ringing, and it's ringing, and it's ringing. So you're opening the door and opening the door. Do a lot of pets get lost on Halloween?
You know, unfortunately, because you're opening those doors for the trick-or-treaters, those dogs and those cats can just sneak right out and run out into the street. Unfortunately, we do have a lot of traumas from that. Or they're lost. They run away. So we need to be very careful when we're having those doors always open during the trick-or-treating. I'd recommend that they be in a separate location.
Yeah, speaking of which, so you're talking about like a second bedroom or a den or a bedroom or downstairs, and you close that door, not only to keep them safe so they don't potentially run out, either the dog or cat that's a little afraid, the cat that's curious and wants to run outside, because cats just do, an open door and there goes the cat, or a dog that's friendly but still ends up outside rather than inside. So for all those reasons, keeping a pet behind a closed door is something I'm all for. But a lot of pets are anxious. So what do we do with those pets? I mean, the doorbell keeps ringing and ringing and ringing, and they're dressed as ghouls and goblins, but the pets aren't sure that they're human. So what do you do with those guys?
Well, that's where having them in a separate location. I know that it can be fun to have the dog dressed up or have to see people and be part of the group, but really having them where they're safe, their safe zone, possibly with their favorite Kong, you know, food-filled Kong.
Sure.
Having a radio or a TV playing if someone isn't trick-or-treating, having them in the room. And with cats,
your
things like Feel Away.
Talk radio station, of course. That's what WGN is for. We are number one with dogs. Or perhaps classical music. Studies have shown that classical music lowers anxiety in dogs. Actually, one study, I'm not sure it's been replicated, showed reggae music to be the most relaxing, which gives a whole new meaning to Marley and Me. So you've got the music playing, you've got a distraction with food or treats or something like that. You mentioned Feel Away and also, I suppose, Adaptil. Explain what they are and why they may help.
Well, they're a pheromone, and they have diffusers and sprays. We actually use diffusers in our hospital.
Great.
And it can just create a sense of calm for the pet, their kind of safe zone. And a lot of people have had really good success. So that's something to consider getting in your home and getting acclimated before the Halloween holiday.
Very natural, you know, helps keeps pets to feel comfortable in their own environment, I think is a good way to put it. Nutraceuticals can be an answer, too. For dogs, there's a product called Zentral, again, to lower the fear, anxiety, and stress. Zilkine is another one, and you can ask your veterinarian about those products as well. 3 minutes before 7 o'clock on WGN. You know, we were talking off the air, Dr. Bartel, from MedVet Chicago, about the importance of phone videos. They really can be helpful.
When in doubt, if you're unsure about a behavior, take that video with your phone and show us. We are a level one trauma center, and we are at 773-281-7110 if you have any questions.
Speaking of which, pets aren't like family. They are family. That's why you guys, the doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago, are always there when your pets need them the most. I'll tell you, I go to public events, and MedVet may be sponsoring that event or there for some reason. And people come over to the doctors at MedVet, and you must get this all the time, and say, thank you, 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 which must be a nice feeling.
We're always happy to see a healthy pet walk out those doors.
Yeah, as you said, a VECCS Level 1 Trauma Center. What does that mean?
We go through a rigorous process to be qualified and meet standards, and we are equipped to meet any of your emergency needs.
Any of them is right. You could visit them at medvetforpets.com, medvetforpets.com, or call MedVet Chicago, 773-281-7110, 773-281-7110. Dr. Brooke Bartel, thank you for being here, but thank you and your colleagues for everything you guys do.
Thank you very much. Everyone stay safe.